أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واضرب لهم مثل الرجلين جعلنا لأحدهما جنتين من أعناب وحففناهما بنخل وجعلنا بينهما زرعا كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا وكان له ثمر فقال لصاحبه وهو يحاوره أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا ودخل جنته وهو ظالم لنفسه قال ما أظن أن تبيد هذه أبدا وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رددت إلى ربي لأجدن خيرا منها منقلبا صدق الله العظيم. Inshallah, today we'll discuss the second important incident in Surah Kahf. And in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets a parable. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ Allah says, and give them an example. They were two men. جَعَلَّا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابِ One of these two men, we gave one of them two gardens of grapes, two orchards of grapes. So he had two huge gardens of grapes. وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ And we surrounded them with date palms. So we can just picture two beautiful orchards of grapes. And around these two orchards, there were date palms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا And between this, we place zar'a, which means tillage. Both these gardens brought forth the fruit. In other words, these gardens were lush and it produced abundant fruit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شِيْئًا And it did not decrease anything. It brought forth the full produce, the fruit, and it suppressed nothing from it. وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهْرًا And on top of that, between these two orchards, Allah caused a river to gush forth. So there is a scene of a person who is very wealthy and he's got these beautiful gardens of date palms, of grapes, surrounded by date palms and tillage in between, and also it's a river gushing forth. كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شِيئًا وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهْرًا وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ Allah says this person had abundant fruit. In other words, these gardens were lush, productive. فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَعَزُّ نَفَرًا So I said there were two companions. This first one had a lot of wealth. He was very wealthy. He was rich. So he said to his companion, وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ whilst he was conversing with him. They were talking, conversing. And he began to boast. He said, أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا I've got more wealth than you have. وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا And I'm stronger in power as far as family is concerned. I have a larger family. وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ Allah says he entered his orchard in the condition that he had actually oppressed himself by making these remarks, by showing this pride, arrogance. He was puffed up with arrogance. He was boasting. And he didn't realize, or he failed to realize, that all these gardens actually came to him through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not his own doing. It was not his efforts. It was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when this conversation is taking place, and he is boasting about his gardens, and his wealth, his possessions, his property, and his large family, on top of that, he says, قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا I don't ever believe that these beautiful gardens of mine will ever be destroyed. There won't be anything that will come, any hurricane, or any thunderbolt, or any fire, or any divine punishment or calamity that will come upon it and destroy it. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا He says, I don't believe in the day of judgment and resurrection. I don't believe in the day of Qiyamah. وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ And very mockingly he says, and even if I have to be returned to such a day, and if it happens to be a day of Qiyamah, وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي And if I have to be returned to my Rabb, لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا Then I'll find better in return. My Rabb has given me, if you're saying, all this is not mine, and my Rabb has given me, so that he'll give me plentiful. In other words, he was beguiled. He felt that in the dunya he got so much, so in the akhirat he'll get more. If there was an akhirat. So this conversation is taking place. قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا So his friend, who was poorer, he was middle class or lower class, he tells him, have you disbelieved in the one who created you from sand, then from a drop of sperm, then he fashioned you into a man? Look at your beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you from sand. You were a drop of sperm. Allah fashioned you, Allah gave you that physical strength and beauty. لَكِنَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا He said, as for myself, I firmly believe that Allah is my Rabb. And I will never associate partners with my Rabb. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Why didn't you say when you entered your garden, instead of boasting and bragging about your strength and your gardens and all the produce that you have, why didn't you say, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ Whatever Allah wishes, that takes place. All this is through the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ There is no strength besides strength which Allah ta'ala gives a person. إِن تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا He says, well, if you feel that I have lesser wealth than you, I am poorer than you, and I've got lesser family than you, lesser children than you, perhaps it can happen that my Rabb will give me better than you, better than your garden. The tables can turn. And a divine calamity can befall you. Husban means a fire, a thunderbolt could come and destroy all your properties. And your entire beautiful vineyards and your date palms and the beautiful water that is gushing in between them and the tillage, everything can become just one barren land, destroyed. أَوْ يُصْبِحَ مَاءُهَا غَوْرًا And the water that you see gushing forth can go deep down and it can sink and penetrate into the ground and everything can become dry. فَلَن تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا Then you won't be able to seek that water again. So exactly like that what he said. وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِي Allah subhanahu's divine calamity came. And all his garden, whatever he had, all his property, his thamar, his produce, it was surrounded by this calamity. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا Now, he began to strike his hand. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ He began to strike his hands, and the reason for this is out of anguish, out of nadamat, out of regret. On what? Not the statement he made. Regret, عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا How much he had spent into this land. How much of money went into this. The effort that went. And everything is destroyed. وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا It has fallen down on his trellis. And he was saying, وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا Now he says, after the damage is done, if only I didn't associate partners with my Rabb. وَلَمْ تَكُلْ لَهُ فِئَةٌ يَنْصُرُونَهُ There was no army to help him now. مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كَانَ مُنْتَصِرًا He could not help himself. هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ At this point we understand and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says all power and authority belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ خَيْرٌ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عُقْبًا Allah is the best in giving reward and He is best in requiting. Is a white Nissan Almera ND 78828 Kindly remove your car, white Nissan Almera. ND78828 and a grey Jetta ND774650. Grey Jetta ND774650. Somebody needs to leave. So this is the parable Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the Quran. Remember, throughout the Quran there are so many similitudes, parables Allah ta'ala brings to make us understand and realize. This incident took place in the time of Bani Israel. Mufassirin went into the detail to that. But what basically this whole parable is all about, there's a contrast between these two men. One was very wealthy and the other one was of a lower class. He didn't have that amount of possessions and wealth like the first person. But the first person forgot the fact that all what he had belonged to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was given to him from Allah Rabbul Izzat. It was not his own. And this is something all of us need to now reflect and ponder over. We have wealth. Perhaps we have shops and factories, whatever we may have, whatever our profession is. And we have built our empire. But all these things were given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah out of His kindness. This is not a sign that Allah is necessarily pleased with you. Sometimes, what the hadith is, this is istidraj. It is just respite from Allah. Allah gives you more and more and more, especially when you are not obeying Allah Rabbul Izzat, despite the bounties Allah has given you. You should be using those bounties to make more ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This reminds me of an incident. Rasulullah is sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, and suddenly Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu goes past. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu was a very handsome Sahabi, a young Sahabi in the time of beginning of Islam. He was a youngster who had the best clothing, the best food, the best perfume. It is mentioned in the books of Sirah that his mother would make special food for him, and she should pamper him to such an extent that if she goes to give him the food and she finds her Mus'ab fast asleep, she'll wait for him until he wakes up and she'll feed him. When Mus'ab radiallahu anhu go past in a gully, people would know exactly it was Mus'ab that went past because of the perfume he would apply. Very, very wealthy. But the moment he accepted Islam, his parents became very angry. They tied him up. They locked him up. They began to beat him. But he sacrificed all these things. And he made hijrat. He joined Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sacrificed all his riches. He became a very poor sahabi. When Rasulullah sallallahu was sitting with the sahaba, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu goes past. Rasulullah sallallahu actually teared when he sees Mus'ab in the condition that Mus'ab was dressed. And Rasulullah recalled the days when Mus'ab had so much of wealth and such elegance and such beautiful clothing, and now he sacrificed all it for the sake of Allah. He lived a very simple life. Then he tells the Sahaba, how will it be when you will have one garment in the morning to wear and one in the evening? He's saying this to the Sahaba. Sahaba didn't have that. How will it be? A time will come when you'll have one garment you'll be wearing in the morning, another in the evening. Just think of ourselves now. You'll have different types of food. One plate will be just lifted, one dish, another dish is already there. We talk about 7-course meal, 10-course meal. He says, how will it be when your homes will be draped with curtains like how the Kaaba has been draped? Can you imagine? Just picture ourselves now. The Sahaba got very excited. Why? They said, if that's going to be the case, we'll have so much of wealth, and our expenses will be nukfal mu'na, will be suffice. Allah will give us so much. Natafarragh lil ibadah. Then we'll have all the time to make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We won't have to go work. Our time of ibadat will be solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire day we'll be making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll be able to strive in the path of Allah. We'll be able to make more salat, more dhikr, more tilawat, because we'll have plentiful. Nabi Kareem said, no, no, no. You are in a far better position now than then. So we were discussing this point here, that This person, instead of being happy that he's got so much of possessions, and he should be attributing all this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgot the fact that Allah has been so kind to him. Instead of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually rejected the fact that there will be a day of resurrection. And he felt that all the properties they have, everything is so rosy. No harm will come to me. Look at ourselves. MashaAllah, sometimes the business is doing very, very well. So we make shukr. We make shukr by means of our tongue and by means of our actions. In other words, our dealings must be halal. We must not deceive any person. We have people working for us. Then we must make sure we pay them their salary before their sweat dries. How often a person says, I'm working 7 days a week. I'm working so much and I'm hardly getting any salary. I don't get a chance to even breathe. In the month of Ramadan especially, mashallah, we are owners of shops and factories, and we are, mashallah, come early to the masjid. What about that poor worker of yours who's a Muslim? He's also got a family, he's also fasting. He stays so far, he has to take the bus, the kumbi, the taxi, go all the way probably to Phoenix or Chatswood. He barely makes it in time for iftar. The next day back. What does Islam teach us? We should be kind. Close your shop early. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you more barakah in Ramadan, in your rozi. Ourselves, we make sure that we have a good sleep and we are there first serve probably. May Allah accept our ibadat. But Islam is a whole package. There's akhlaq involved. There's muamala. There's ma'amulat. There's ibadat. All these things, this is Islam. So this person, this parable, what do we understand? That this person was very proud over himself. And he refuted the day of Qiyamah. He didn't believe in it. And he felt it was his strength, his property. Remember the day of Qiyamah. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. A person who comes with a pure heart, a heart which has got full iman, a heart that has no shirk in it, a heart that is free from spiritual maladies, a heart that has the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it, that is the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts. Otherwise, your wealth, your children cannot avail you, cannot benefit you on the day of Qiyamah. It's not the number of members I have in my family, the strength, the number of followers I have. I've got so many million followers. I've got so many thousand followers. I've got so much of money in my bank. This is not what will help a person in the day of Qiyamah. So this person forgot about the fact that all that he had was from Allah Rabbul Izzat. So this comparison, the other person was less affluent, and he was looked down upon. Immediately when this person says, he said, I am better than you. I've got more wealth than you. He looked down upon him. And this second person, the poor person, was content. He did not complain. Ulama say he did not have hasad. Many times in this world, somebody, your neighbor, is more prosperous than you. So mashallah, you give him dua. If his shop is more busier than yours, it should not cause you to have hasad. You should never be envious and jealous of him. You make dua for him. It's not necessary if a person is doing well and he's very wealthy, that means he's a sinner. No, ma'adallah. So many, a wealthy person was also a very pious servant of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Sayyidina Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, were wealthy sahaba. But they spent in the path of Allah. They lived simple lives. So it doesn't mean if a person has wealth that he is necessarily a sinner. No. The point here is we're talking about a person who's wealthy and he looks down upon others. So this person was content, the poor person. He did not have hasad. He did not look at the possessions, the belongings of the other person and desired that. That's why in the hadith is mentioned, لا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم فهو أجدر أن لا تزدروا نعمة الله عليكم. Don't look at somebody above you as far as material things are concerned. If you're going to look at that person, he's got such a nice car and such a nice bungalow and such a nice flat and building, and he's got a holiday house, and he's all the time traveling overseas, and look at his life. And what's going to happen? You are not going to appreciate the bounties that Allah has given you. You'll think low of the bounties Allah has given you. If you come out and you see that you don't have shoes, look at the person who doesn't have feet. But as far as deen is concerned, you must look at the person above you. The one who has gone far ahead of you.
He's reading more salat, his sons become hufaz and ulama, and his family, mashallah, there's so much of dini activities taking place in that home. You must desire to be like that. So as far as deen is concerned, don't look at the person below you. Look at the person who's excelling. And you must desire to be like him. But as far as dunya is concerned, don't look at the one above you. It's going to cause you to become greed, to be envious and have hasad. Greed will come into your heart. Look at the person below you. So this person thought that he was one of those very few selected people, as one of the mashayikh have written, who was born with a silver spoon, and he will never be taken to task. There won't be a day of reckoning, and he was not content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. So Allah ta'ala destroyed his entire possession, all his belongings. The few lessons that we learn from here. Number one, again, the same lesson that we emphasized yesterday on tawheed. Tawheed. What does this poor person said? That I, walakinni, as far as I'm concerned, I don't associate any partners with Allah. I know very firmly that Allah is my Rabb. I know Allah is my provider. Allah is my sustainer. Allah is the one who provides. Allah gives rozi. We have nice boards written, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, on our businesses, on our shops. That is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives who He wishes. But beneath that, there are riba in transactions taking place. When a man who is really struggling, we don't have the sympathy to assist him. It is very easy to discharge your zakat. Somebody asked me the other day, somebody is poor, but he's not eligible for zakat, so what should we do? So I said, no, you must give him lillah. Zakat you have to give. And if that person, you cannot receive zakat for whatever reason, but he still require financial assistance, then give him your lillah. Give preference to your Muslim brother over yourself. Look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, their lives. One salient feature, one good trait of theirs was, they always give preference to the next person over themselves. There are numerous examples. Numerous examples. Imagine, month of Ramadan, and you got so much of dates. And our masajid, I think everybody has dates. So there's no shortage of it. Once we were in Cape Town, we were in the month of Ramadan, it was, we were in Jamaat, we were in Mitchell's Plain. And believe me, there was no dates on the Dasarkhan. Then we started scratching our heads. At home we have boxes. And in so much of dates we have, and still we can't share that with others. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is fasting. She only has one date, nothing else to eat in the house. And a poor person comes, and she gives that one date, which she would have used for her own iftar. She gives that away. So her servant tells her that, why are you giving this date? Aren't you fasting? You need it for iftar. She says, no. She gave that date in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahabi is losing his life on the battlefield. He calls out for water, atash, atash. The water comes to him. He's about to take a sip. When he hears his fellow companion next to him crying out the same, atash, atash. So immediately he gave preference. He was leaving this world. Last few moments of his life, he required that water. He gave it to his companion. When he was about to drink, the third person, the exact same thing happened. By the time the water reached the second and third person, both left this world. When he came back to the first person, he also left this world. It is easy to mention these things and read about it. But when we are tried with these things and tested, then we realize how low, how weak our iman is. And therefore we're going to reflect on the verses of the Quran and see the parables that Allah has given us. Allah is explaining something to us. Allah is showing us beautiful lessons. So again, tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe in Allah Rabbul Izzat. The same lesson yesterday. And I mentioned in the beginning, what is the link with Dajjal and Surah Kahf? Remember I said the person who reads Surah Kahf will be protected from Dajjal. One of the reasons is that the Surah Kahf builds in you, entrenches in you a strong iman, oneness in Allah Rabbul Izzat. That Allah is your Rabb. And nobody else. And Dajjal will claim to be Allah. When he will come, he will claim to be the Ilah. And Allah will give him certain powers. He will come with a fire and a garden. And if you reject him, then he'll throw you into his fire. If you believe in him, he'll put you into his garden. Rasulullah says you must jump into the fire. Allah will turn that fire into a garden for you. He'll come across some people and they will reject him. He'll just go past, they will become poor people, they become paupers. Allah will give him those type of powers. These are all tests. That is why the test of Dajjal is something very, very severe. Every Nabi warned his people about Dajjal. Every Nabi. So Dajjal will claim to be Allah. He'll claim to be the Rabb. And therefore we require to have our iman so steadfast, so strong. If you're a strong believer, you will identify Dajjal from a distance. You will actually see on his forehead written, Kafir. Or Kafara. Allah will show you. Surah Kahf will protect you from Dajjal. So the lesson of Surah Kahf again is Tawheed. Then, the source of all protection is Allah. هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ Allah who is the most true. All walayat means protection. Authority belongs to Allah Rabbul Izzat. So we use our means, what Allah has made permissible, but again, we read our du'as. When you leave home, what do you say? There are many du'as, masnoon du'as. We are reading these du'as, we're just refreshing our memories. So easy. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Teach our children also. Or put that placard at your entrance when you, every time you're coming out, you'll remember. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When a person says this, then an angel says to him, Hudita, you have been given hidayat. Allah is going to guide you. Kufita, you have been sufficed. All your needs for the day. You got big deals coming, you got this work, worry and that. Allah says, Kufita, you have been sufficed. Wukita, you have been protected. Watanaha anhu shaitan. Shaitan moves away from him. To such an extent, if another shaitan is coming, the shaitan will say, there's no chance for you. Because Allah has protected him. So read these du'as. هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلْعَقْدِ This is the second lesson, that the source of all protection is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, belief on the day of Akhirat, day of Qiyamah. If a person genuinely believes about Akhirat, he believes in Akhirat, and that is our belief, then obviously you'll prepare for Akhirat. But if you forget about Akhirat, then you will do in this world as though there's no Akhirat. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that do action in this world, that amount for your duration of your life in this world. And do for the Akhirat according in proportion to the duration of your stay in the year hereafter. Nobody's going to live forever and ever in this world. Your actions for the Akhirat, that is why throughout the Quran, right from the beginning, Allah talks about bil akhirati hum yuqinun, about akhirat, 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 akhirat. So the belief in akhirat. Then the fact about giving nasihat advice, وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ There was a discussion. Although that person, the rich person, showed, he began to boast and showed arrogance, the other person advised him. He advised him to give nasiha. There's a manner in which you give nasiha, like how very politely this person gave nasiha. He reminded him of his beginning. Reminded him what he was. He was nothing. So there's no need to be proud of yourself. When you're beginning, your inception, you were created from sand, water, drop of sperm. You end what will be? Dead, you'll be a corpse. In between, what are you carrying? Filth in your stomach. So he reminded his brother. If somebody reminds us in a nice way, then accept that nasihat. How often we feel, no, I don't have to listen to him. Who's he to tell me? This person, in a nice way. Yes, there's a way of giving nasihat also. So this also shows us about accepting advice and giving advice. Then, he told his brother, why didn't you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah, when you entered the garden? Again, making the zikr of Allah. Praising Allah. And also, strengthening this belief that everything happens through the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word, the phrase, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, in the riwayat and hadith it is mentioned, it is kanzul min kunuzil akhirah, or min kunuzil jannah. It is the treasures of the akhirat. It is a treasure. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah said, when a person says, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, Allah says, aslama abdi wa staslama. That my servant has surrendered, he has submitted to me. He has passed on all his affairs to me by saying, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What does it mean? La hawla, there is no turning away from sin except with help and assistance from Allah. Wa la quwwata illa billah, there is no strength to do good actions except when Allah gives you the ability. So, we see something very beautiful. Your child, your business, prospering. You must say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So this is also making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, the harms of ghurur and takabbur. What happened to this person? The moment he displayed pride and arrogance, وَأُحِيتَ بِثَمَرِ Allah ta'ala destroyed all his possessions. We saw in the Quran, Fir'aun. Because he had pride, arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned him. Qarun, all his belongings, everything was sunk with him. Allah subhanahu wants us to have humility. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ The person who is humble for the sake of Allah, Allah elevates him. Allah gives him honor. Allah gives him izzat. Not only in this world, but even in the hereafter. وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهِ The person who displays pride, arrogance, ana, me, I, my, Allah destroys him. The next lesson is that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives, he takes away. تُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ Allah gives izzat, Allah gives disgrace. Allah gives a person kingdom, Allah takes away kingdom. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then of course the main theme of this parable was the fitna. I said there are tests and trials that have been explained. The previous incident was the test on aqidah, to see how strong these boys were. They were firm on iman. Allah protected them. Ashab-e Kahf. And this one is a fitna of maal. When you have wealth, again make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't become obsessed with your wealth. When a person becomes obsessed, and then he finds himself slowly moving away from Allah Rabbul Izzat, the wealth becomes an obstruction from reaching Allah Rabbul Izzat. And of course, a person should be content. Like how this poor person, he was content, he was happy. That person is successful, comes in hadith, that person is successful who Allah gives him some food or some belongings and he is content on that. Then of course the fact that dunya is not going to remain forever and ever. He thought that these orchards of his will never be destroyed. Ad-dunya za'ila. Dunya is going to leave. Dunya will come to an end. Therefore Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, in the narration he mentioned, kunu abna al-akhirah. Be sons of the hereafter. Don't be sons of the dunya. Don't hanker after dunya. Yes, you have to gain your necessities, etc. But don't just keep on hankering after dunya. All the billionaires of this world and the kings of this world, how much did they take with them in the qabr? All the oil wells, did it come to any benefit? The limousines, the palaces they had, they took nothing but their kafan. Nothing but their kafan. And then we see the result. The bad result of the person who was proud. The good result of the person who was a believer. The person who was a believer, Allah gave him plentiful. The man who was proud, arrogant, disbelieving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah destroyed him. And of course, you can't cry over spilt milk. In this case, it was too late to show nadamat. Allah already destroyed him. It was too late. So these were some of the lessons we learned in this incident. And of course, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentioned that Allah created you from sperm, Allah created you from sand. So the person who created you initially, he obviously has the ability and strength to raise you again on the day of Qiyamah. And this was the belief that the mushrikeen of Makkah could not understand, that after we die, we're in the sand, how are we going to be raised again? So the answer to this, that Allah who created you in the first place, He has all the power and ability to give you strength, to give you life again.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand these important lessons. So this was the lesson. The second lesson was this parable of these two people, the wealthy person and the person who was poor. But the wealthy person, he displayed his arrogance and he disapproved on the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him on the day of Qiyamah, and may so Allah ta'ala destroy him. So these are lessons we bring in our life. Whatever occupation we have, whatever wealth that we have, always reflect, look at what the Quran is saying. This wealth will not keep me living forever and ever. It belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's when a person passes away, what do we read? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Everything belongs to Allah. We all are returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا الله forgive us our sins يا الله يا الله don't make us become deceived with dunya my Allah يا الله we're making shukr to you for every ni'mat that you have given us. You have given us the ni'mat of iman, you have given us deen, you have given us the ability to observe Ramadan and keep roza and perform taraweeh salah and recite Quran my Allah, except all these ibadah that we are trying to make, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the ni'mat of wealth that you have given us, Ya Allah. Whatever wealth you have and possessions you have given us, my Allah, we are making shukr to you, my Allah. Ya Allah, you have promised that in shakartum la'azidannakum, that if we make shukr, you will increase us in those bounties, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us use the wealth that you have given us and all the bounties that you have bestowed upon us, make us use it correctly. Don't make us abuse those bounties. Ya Allah, make us true shakirin and dhakirin. Give us qanaat, Ya Allah. Give us contentment, Ya Allah. Give us that peace of mind, contentment of the heart. Don't make us become greedy people. Protect us from hirs, my Allah. Don't make us become haris over dunya, my Allah. Don't make us chase after dunya, my Allah. Ya Allah, remove the love of dunya that we have in our hearts, my Allah. Help us now to focus on akhirat, my Allah. Make us realize that we have to stand up one day before you and we have to account for our sins and our deeds, my Allah. Help us to invest for the akhirat. Ya Allah, if you've given us plenty in this world, then make us be like Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu, that on the battle of Tabuk he gave so much that Rasulullah ﷺ took those gold coins from one hand to the other and he said, Ma dharra Uthman, ma amila ba'da hada. That nothing will harm Uthman now. After what good he has done, if there's no more good actions, still there'll be no problem because, Ya Allah, that Allah Ta'ala has accepted his action. He was so generous. Ya Allah, so many sahaba, so many of your friends, they had large hearts. They gave so much of their possessions, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have become miserly people, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from shuh and bukhal, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't make us become bakhil and kanjus, my Allah. Make us be generous servants, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us have full i'tiqad, Ya Allah, in you, my Allah. In your oneness, my Allah. Full tawheed in our hearts, Ya Allah. Entrench it, engrave it in our lives, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't make us associate any partners, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from riya and ostentation, Ya Allah. When we do any act of deed, good deed, my Allah, don't make us do it for you and so that people may praise us and for show. Ya Allah, the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah had mentioned that in the hadith, that you will tell us then, that go and get your sawab from the other person. I don't need any partnership. Oh my Allah, give us ikhlas, my Allah. Give us the maqam of ihsan, my Allah. That we do actions and we conduct our lives as though we are seeing you. Ya Allah, give us muraqabah, Ya Allah. That we have the consciousness that you are watching us all the time. Ya Allah, give us the maqam of ihsan. Ya Allah, give us a strong iman. Make us live with iman. Make us die with iman. Raise us in the day of Qiyamah with iman. Ya Allah, give us the understanding of your Quran. Give us the understanding of the sunnah and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, how long are we going to remain ignorant of your Quran, my Allah? Years have went by, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have become old and still we have not understood the injunctions of your Quran. Ya Allah, we read the Quran, but we don't understand what you are saying, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have so many ulama, so many madaris and so many classes, Ya Allah. Make us go by the true ulama, Ya Allah, and make this ulama help us and make us understand, Ya Allah, what your injunctions are, what you are saying, what you are preaching, what you are teaching, what you are advising, what you are calling out to, my Allah, what you are commanding us, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us follow the Quran, my Allah. Make us read it properly with tajweed, my Allah. Make us understand the Quran. Make us implement the Quran. Make us pass it to others also, my Allah. Ya Allah, make our lives be like how Rasulullah SAW had told us it should be. Ya Allah, with the akhlaq of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't make us cheat and deceive others, my Allah. Don't make us display evil qualities, my Allah.
Ya Allah, help us to protect our tongues, my Allah. Help us to protect our gazes, my Allah. Help us to protect our limbs, my Allah. Don't make us have filthy thoughts, my Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from waswasa, my Allah. Protect us from depression, my Allah. Protect us from oppression, my Allah. Ya Allah, help us to suppress our nafs, my Allah, and egos, my Allah. Especially after the month of Ramadan, when all these anwarat will disappear, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't make it such, my Allah. We beg you, ya Allah, we beg you. Ya Allah, don't make it be such that we become lazy and we don't read our salat, we discard our salat. Ya Allah, we are begging you, my Allah. Ya Allah, make all our masajid abad, my Allah. Especially our masjid here, my Allah. Ya Allah, how you have made it so full during the days of Ramadan. Ya Allah, after the month of Ramadan also, my Allah. Let all the people from this locality, all the male baligh, ya Allah. Ya Allah, make them frequent the masjid, my Allah. Ya Allah, it must be such that there's no more space in the masjid left, ya Allah. Because people are thronging for the 5-time salat. Ya Allah, otherwise fajr salat. Hardly 3 or 4 rows only, my Allah. The masjid calls out and cries to us. Ya Allah, we made promises in the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, don't make it be such that we go against those promises, my Allah. Make us be amongst those who establish salah. Make us be amongst those who you have said muqimin as-salah. Ya Allah, make us be amongst those who you have said qad aflaha al-mu'minun. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Give us the khushu and khudu in our salat, the concentration in our salat. Make us enjoy our salat, my Allah. Make us enjoy every ibadat, my Allah. Ya Allah, accept our Ramadan. Accept the umrah of all those who had gone for umrah, ain umrah, or will go for umrah, my Allah. All those who had made for niyat for hajj, my Allah. Make it be easy for them, my Allah. Grant them hajj mabroor, maqbool. Let there be no impediments an obstacle in the way, my Allah. So many are waiting to go for hajj, my Allah. Ya Allah, nothing is impossible for you, ya Allah, to take them. Ya Allah, we have seen in the past, they have not got the accreditation, my Allah. But my Allah, the invitation came from you, my Allah. Despite all that, they went for hajj. And ya Allah, they came back after hajj, ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us, all of us, to discharge our zakat properly, my Allah. Ya Allah, our sadaqat, my Allah. Ya Allah, our sadqatul fitr, my Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa, my Allah. Ya Allah, give them complete shifa, my Allah. All the marhumin, give them jannatul firdaus, grant the family sabr jameel, my Allah. Remove our difficulties, my Allah. Ya Allah, our brothers are sitting here tonight, my Allah. Ya Allah, our mothers and sisters have listened at home, my Allah. Ya Allah, remove all our masaib, mashakil, whatever those problems are, my Allah. Somebody has got a court case, my Allah. Somebody is languishing in prison, my Allah. Somebody has got a disease, my Allah. Somebody is sick at home or in hospital, my Allah. Somebody has got a domestic problem, my Allah. Somebody has got a drug problem, my Allah. Somebody has got a problem, ya Allah, with his family, my Allah. Ya Allah, remove all our difficulties. Answer our du'as. Allahumma ajib da'watana. Ajib da'watana. Ya Allah, you have said, ud'uni astajib lakum. Make dua to me, I will answer you. Ya Allah, we are begging you only, my Allah, answer all our du'as. Ya Qadhi al-Hajat, Ya Dafi al-Baliyat, Ya Hal al-Mushkilat. Ya Allah, make our children become the coolness of our eyes. Ya Allah, make our pupils become the coolness of our eyes. Make all of them excellent hufad, ulama, sulaha, make them ulama rabbaniyun, my Allah. Use them for the khidmat of your deen with ikhlas and maqbooliyat in the four corners of the globe. Make them keys toward good, my Allah. Make them locks to evil, my Allah. Don't make any one of us keys to evil and locks to good, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us a good moth, moth in Madinah Sharif, bari in Jannatul Baqi. Ya Allah, grant us the shafaat of Rasul Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Hudi Kothur water from his Mubarak hands, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us enter Jannat without any hisab kitab. Ya Allah, our parents. Ya Allah, the ihsan is upon us, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us become the coolness of their eyes, my Allah. Ya Allah, they have done so much for us, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have not fulfilled their rights, my Allah. Ya Allah, if they have left this world, my Allah, grant them Jannatul Firdaus. Protect them from azab of qabr if they are living. Ya Allah, you protect them. Have mercy upon them. Help us to fulfill their rights, my Allah. Ya Allah, our wives, my Allah, they do so much for us, my Allah. Ya Allah, the ihsan is upon us, my Allah. Still we complain, my Allah. So many a husband, ya Allah, even the month of Ramadan, my Allah, he hasn't appreciated the khidmat of his wife. They're not on talking terms, my Allah. Ya Allah, eat the high it will be, my Allah. When there's turmoil in the families, my Allah. So many youngsters, my Allah. Ya Allah, children are talking to their parents, my Allah. Ya Allah, there's qiyamah in their homes, my Allah. There's a fire raging in their homes, my Allah. Remove those difficulties, my Allah. Create peace and muhabbat between husband and wife, parents and children, my Allah. Between brothers and sisters and brothers and brothers, my Allah. Between family members, between musallis, between the mashayikh, between the ulama, my Allah. Between the jamaats, my Allah.
Ya Allah, don't test us, my Allah. I'm the bohat kamzor hai, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Qiyamah is close. You know best when Qiyamah will take place, my Allah. We are just seeing the signs that are mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, before all this happens, my Allah, before all this fitna overwhelms us, my Allah, help us to make sincere tawbah, my Allah. Give us the strong iman, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us your raza mandi, my Allah. Make us your awliya, my Allah. Ya Allah, change our conditions. Help us to make islah for ourselves, my Allah. Ya Allah, the environments we will go back to, my Allah, maybe not conducive, my Allah. But Ya Allah, you make it such that we become true leaders now, my Allah. Ya Allah, nothing is impossible for you, my Allah. The same gambling dens will become masajid now, my Allah. Ya Allah, the same hotel places, my Allah, will become marakis, my Allah. Ya Allah, use us for the khidmat of your deen with ikhlas and maqbooliyat. Ya Allah, give us halal and tayyib rozi, my Allah. Ya Allah, make our rozi be easy for us, my Allah. Make our rozi become easy for us, my Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from the sharr of the sharreen, fitna of the fitin, hasr of the hasidin. Grant all of us afiyat in dunya and akhirah. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين